Blog Talk Radio.
Commissioner T, it is November 9th, Friday, and here I am. And it's just Commissioner T. I don't know if Dr. Train or K-Star will find the show tonight. We did two shows earlier this week. I debated as to whether to do this show today or not. And I said, you know what? If I were a fan, which I am a big fan of the Madden Voice, if I were a fan and I wanted to hear the show, and I got used to listening on Fridays, and then because of the election and the split show and all of that, you guys just decided to do a show, I'd be upset. I'd be angry. Like, how do you just not do a show? I got used to listening to the show Friday, maybe live, maybe archive, whatever, podcast, however you want to listen to it. Maybe later on tonight on your browser there on blogtalkradio.com. But however it is, you know, I don't want to be that type of show that we just pick and choose. So, you know, as long as I see good numbers on Friday, we're going to be here. So here I am. And it is good to be here. If you want to call in, it's 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. Twitter is at The Madden Voice. Facebook, The Madden Voice. We're live. We're on the air. We're going to talk a little NFL football. Let's talk about last night's game. Let's talk about the Colts and the Jags. And I'll admit, I didn't get to see the game. I saw some of it. I didn't get to see the whole game. I had a previous commitment. But I did catch most of the highlights. You know, and really, you can say whatever you want about the Colts. And we talked about the Colts on Wednesday night. We talked about Andrew Luck and that team. And we talked about the fact that, you know, they are in a playoff contention right now, that team at 6-3 is in playoff contention. And, you know, in virtually every other division other than the division led by the Houston Texans, the Atlanta Falcons, but virtually every other division, 6-3 is pretty much good enough to be leading the division. So they are playing playoff level football with a team that last year was 2-14. Now, mind you, the year before that, Peyton Manning was there, and I don't remember what their record is. I could, you know what? Let me stop doing that. Let me find out what their record was. 2010. I can do that because I have tools at my disposal to find these things out. So the Colts 2 years ago were 10-6 and won the division, and that was Peyton Manning's last year before the injury. And so, one of the points that I made was, even though there are new players, this team is just one season away from being in the playoffs, from being led by Peyton Manning. And so I think it is very, very impressive what Andrew Luck is doing. But let us not remember the pedigree of the Indianapolis Colts, the kind of the legacy that this team brings. And how many seasons do they start off 5-0, 6-0, 7-0? And again, it was all under Peyton Manning. I think what's impressive is that Andrew Luck is a rookie, and that Andrew Luck is really and maybe starting to emerge now because the Colts are 6-3. But Andrew Luck is really starting to he's starting to show why he was the number one draft pick. he's starting to show why he got picked to replace Peyton Manning, why the Colts decided they weren't going to pay Peyton Manning, I believe it was $28 million roster bonus, and why they released him. And so, you know, you start to realize that there are reasons why these general managers, coaches, and scouts do what they do. You know, we had this situation in Green Bay where you had the legend Brett Favre, and every year, do I retire, do I not retire? And that last year with Green Bay, they decided, you know what, we're not waiting. We're gonna go ahead and I don't know if he was traded or released. I think he was released, and they went with Aaron Rodgers, who subsequently did lead them a couple years later to a Super Bowl and MVP. We saw it, for those of you old-time football fans, we saw it with Joe Montana and Steve Young. And finally, the 49ers decided that they thought that it was time to go ahead and turn the team over to Joe Montana, who now, of course, is a Hall of Famer, did go to a Super Bowl, league MVP. And so when you're in the middle of it and you don't know, you have to wonder – you know, I mean, how do you make that decision? How do you sit there and say, I mean, because look at Peyton Manning now. I mean, there is no quarterback playing better football in the NFL than Peyton Manning. I mean, you could say maybe Aaron Rodgers, but he might be the only one. But Peyton Manning is playing as high a level as we've seen, and this is a guy coming off of four neck surgeries. I've already said Peyton Manning would be my MVP this year. If it was up to me right now, he's my MVP. And, yeah, I have to take into account that he was off football year with a new team, brings the system he knows to a brand-new team, and, you know, and he's making it happen. I mean, they're leading the division right now. And he's making it happen over there. And, you know, I don't know if that team is as good as any Colts team he had. But you know what? At 5-3, doing a pretty good job. So, you know, it's impressive when we see things like this. And, you know, there are teams that have quarterbacks. You know, you look at the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Eagle-Cowboy game. But you look at the Eagles and, you know, Michael Vick, $100 million man. And we talked about this on Wednesday's show. Is it time, or was it time, I guess, would be the appropriate vernacular. Is it time to sit Michael Vick down and go with the rookie who showed some stuff in the preseason? You know, and we as pundits and NFL analysts can sit here and, you know, we can question and we can analyze. But you know what? Our jobs aren't on the line, so to speak. You know, we're not getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to make these decisions, or even tens of thousands of dollars to make these decisions. We don't have a fan base out there that are watching our every move. So, I mean, there's no pressure on me. I can say keep Vic in the lineup, and I may get a little heat from some Philly fans that may call in or may send me some tweets, but my life goes on. But Andy Reid and Jeffrey Lurie and all these guys and the scouts and the such, the front office, has to make that decision. And if they don't, I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, Andy Reid, I would go on record and say that Andy Reid is playing for his job. Jeffrey Lurie all but said it in the air of Andy Reid losing his son. Jeffrey Lurie came on and said he's got to get it done. You know, it's been too long. It's been too many years. He's got to get it done. He came on and pretty much said that. So now what do you do? You know, do you sit there and go with the guy that you anointed as your franchise quarterback, but he's 3-5 and leads the league in turnovers, is not playing smart football? Or do you say, okay, I'm going to go with the relatively unknown talent? And it's a tough call to make. It really is. So I don't know. But you got to be impressed with Andrew Luck at 6-3, what he's able to do, showing some mobility, making some plays. And you got to be impressed with him. And, you know, it begs the question, who would your rookie of the year be at this point? You know, you've got Andrew Luck. You've got RG3. You've got the guy I can't remember his name, but the running back out of Tampa Bay. I right now wouldn't consider him a candidate. He has not played at that level the whole season. By the end of the year, by week 12, 13, 14, we might be having a different conversation. I think he's more like on the radar screen. I think it really is at this point about RG3 and Andrew Luck and which one of those. And if you're looking for a guy that's taking his team and winning, it's Andrew Luck. If you're looking at a guy who statistically is piling up the stats and making plays that just boggle your mind, throwing almost 70% from the pocket, scrambling and his ability to get in the end zone. And you know, even though the Skins are 3-6, where would they be without an RG3? I certainly think that RG3 gets more press. I think that RG3 gets more fanfare. RG3 gets more notoriety. I truly think that you would almost think that RG3 was Robert Griffin III, was the number one pick. But at the end of the day, and you know, we talked about Tony Romo a lot on Wednesday, and K-Star said, but you know, 3-5, you know, he's not getting it done. And I can't disagree. I don't want to be a hypocrite and say I like Luck because he's 6-3, but I'm also supporting Romo and he's 3-5. Luck at 6-3 is very impressive. With that team in that division, it's very impressive. And so I would have to say, if both of these teams stay on the same path and the Colts make the playoffs at 11-5 or, you know, whatever it may be, and the Skins stay a sub-500 team and finish the season 7-9 or 6-10 or even 8-8, I'd have to say, unless RG3 really did some really just incredible things over the next eight, 9 weeks, I'd have to go with Andrew Luck. I'd have to say that what he came into, replacing a legend, a team that didn't even make the playoffs last year, that was woeful at best, pathetic, and he's coming in 1 year. It kind of makes me think of the San Francisco 49ers, right? 2 years ago, you guys remember who was the coach two years ago, right? You remember what went on 2 years ago? Hold on, I'm going to find it because here we go. This was 2 years ago.
No. You don't want me to go much further. Go right ahead. Ask your question. Vernon, just it was something that I told everybody at the very beginning of the week. I will not tolerate players that think it's about them when it's about the team. And we cannot make decisions that cost the team and then come off the sideline and it's nonchalant. No. You know what? This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
And that was Mike Singletary. And we all thought that Mike Singletary, I mean, great defensive coordinator, great player, very intense. Like he said, from the old school, but his style didn't work. Bring in, and I'm sorry, guys, I can never remember which Harbaugh is which, but you bring in the Harbaugh brother, he comes in, and the following year the team is playing for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Pretty much the same team. And so I look at Andrew Luck, and I say, wow, you know, I have to be impressed with what you're doing. Now, I won't go as far as K-Star and say MVP level. I would say more of a, you know, MVP, I'm sorry, rookie of the year, just not MVP level. I don't think MVP, you know, what Peyton Manning is doing over there. When you look at Matt Schaub and the undefeated Atlanta Falcons, when you look at, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've even heard J.J. Watt on defense being considered. Maybe Aaron Rodgers is coming back into the conversation with the Green Bay Packers at 6-3, and you know, Bears at 7-1, a little bit surprising. And so, you know, do you throw Jay Cutler in the conversation, or Brandon Marshall, or even on the defensive side of the ball, Tillman or Briggs? I mean, maybe defensive MVP. I don't know. I just don't think Luck's quite there. Now, in 3 or 4 weeks, you know, if this guy goes to 10-3, 11-3, what have you, you know, then we're definitely, you know, we're definitely on to something. But I just think it's a little premature. But I got to get, you know, I got to give credit where credit is due. You know, credit is due. The guy is, you know, now we know the Jags are not, you know, a super team. You know, we saw what Detroit did to him, and we know that it is a Jag. But to me, you know, I always have said this, and I will stick by this. You know, you have Houston playing Chicago on Sunday. Someone's going to lose. Does that mean that team's not a good team? No. You know, someone's going to lose. You know, I hate the expression, it's so hard to win a game in the NFL. I don't get it, because two teams are playing. Someone's going to win. Is it hard to beat another team? Okay, maybe that's what they mean to say. It's hard to outplay, outperform, you know, survive or outwit, outplay, outlast another team. Okay, fine. But someone's going to win. Just by the fact that there's only two teams, somebody's going to win. 50-50 chance, just for that reason alone. But if Chicago loses, does that mean all of a sudden Chicago's not a Super Bowl contender? Does that mean Chicago's no longer a good team? I'm already hearing people talk about this as a Super Bowl preview. No, Chicago and Houston, they're good teams, and no matter who wins, they're good teams. Good teams, yes, can beat other good teams. But to me, good teams also get the wins that they're supposed to get. When they're playing a team that they should dominate, that should win, they get those wins. And I've seen it over the years with the Giants, as an example. A game that they're supposed to win, and more times than not, they get the win. You can say that about a Pittsburgh. You can say that about a Baltimore. You can say that about a New Orleans, you know, prior to this year. But games that they're supposed to play, when they're playing a team that's down and out, they get the win. The Patriots, certainly, maybe at the very top of that list of teams that when they're supposed to win a game, they win a game. And so all I'm saying is, you know, the Colts are a good team. They're beating a team that they're supposed to beat in the Jags. And at 6-3, you got to keep an eye on them. And you know, if the Bears, as Dr. Train would love, can hold home field and home court and beat Houston, you're talking now a one game difference between Houston and the Colts. And these teams still have to play each other. I believe I'm going to look this up right now too, but I believe that these teams have to play each other. And give me a second while I look that up. And it will only take a second. But I believe that they have to play each other twice. Houston and Indianapolis. I'm looking at the schedule here. Remember when we used to have dial-up internet, and then we went from dial-up to high speed? And you guys remember that? Some of you older guys out there listening might remember that. And it was like, oh my God, you're opening up another world. And now we're on high speed, and we can't wait fast enough because we forgot those modems, them dial-up 56K modems, and how slow it was. Anyway, I'm looking at the record here, and I am correct. Houston has to play Indianapolis two out of the last three games of the year. So Indy goes to Houston on the 16th in week 15 to play, and then Houston goes back to Indy to finish out the regular season last game of the season, December – well, not last game, but last week of the season, December 30th. No, if Houston goes down to Chicago and it's a one-game lead, now you start looking at the Colts as, you know, now they got a chance to win the division, you know. So let's keep an eye on them. They may surprise. Well, they've already have surprised some people. The surprises might be getting a little bit bigger. Anyway, remember, if you want to call in and talk to me, Commissioner T, 347-838-9525. You can certainly tweet at the Madden Voice. Go on Facebook. Check us out on Facebook, the Madden Voice on Facebook as well. Let's guys, I can never go without talking a little Cowboys. And I know we get a reasonable number of Cowboy fans that tune into the show. I just want to talk for a minute about Jimmy Johnson's comments about the country club. Now, certainly, Jimmy Johnson is a very respected former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, needless to say, the whole legacy around Dallas, you know, when you want to look at the legacy and you want to look at five people that built the tradition of the Cowboys, you can't not count Jimmy Johnson in that conversation. Certainly you want to look at Tex Schramm. Certainly you want to look at Tom Landry. Certainly you want to look at Jerry Jones. And you have to look at Jimmy Johnson. You just have to. So we have a lot of respect for Jimmy Johnson. But that doesn't mean he can't be wrong. And there's been a whole issue. You know, he did the My Football Life thing on NFL Network. I saw it. I thought it was very good. And, I enjoyed it. But there's been a lot of discussions off of that show. And one of the things Jimmy Johnson talked about were, and I'm reading a quote, and it wasn't actually on the show. This was in an interview. But all players in this league think they're self-motivated, and that's a bunch of bull, because there are only a handful that are self-motivated. So you've got to motivate these players through some respect, but the number one motivator is fear. Fear of letting down your teammates, being embarrassed, or fear of losing the job. Where is the fear in Dallas? There's no fear in Dallas. It's a country club where everybody is buddies. Several Cowboys took offense to that. Stephen Jones said, "I won't even count on that. It's ridiculous," right? And there's, of course, this all came at the time that we found out Sean Payton's contract was voided, and Sean Payton certainly has history with Dallas. We saw what he did in New Orleans with Drew Brees, very responsible for Tony Romo. They went to the same college, bringing Tony Romo to the Cowboys, and so people automatically jump on Dallas's. If he doesn't go back to Philly, Dallas is the logical place. I said it Wednesday night, and it's already pretty much been all over SportsCenter that, Peyton has every intention of re-signing with New Orleans. So that's a non-issue. But earlier in the week, it wasn't a non-issue, and so it brought up a lot of discussion. And, of course, the combination of that with Jimmy Johnson's show and then the Cowboys being 3-5 and Jason Garrett being considered on the hot seat, it brings up issues that may or may not be there. Jason Garrett said, I don't have any comment on that. We do things the way we do things here from a football standpoint. We believe we practice the right way and we meet the right way and we create the right atmosphere of urgency for our guys. So that was Jason Garrett. Jason Witten said, I haven't seen him around a lot. Talking about Jimmy Johnson. So he's wondering, where is he getting it from? Jerry Jones wouldn't necessarily declined to comment about Jimmy Johnson, but he did say about Jason Garrett, Jason is incredibly smart. No one understands the game more. He grew up at a breakfast table knowing the NFL. His father was a coach. His father was a scout. He understands the league. He's a great leader. He leads our team in a great way. Although Jerry Jones did come out and say that the team had underachieved. So, you know, I really think that, as much as I hate to say it, I think Jimmy Johnson may have said a few things for shock value, maybe because it's not being done the way he would have done it. He was a disciplinarian, him, Bill Parcells, Mike Singletary, same mold. But I just gave you the example of Mike Singletary with the 49ers. Singletary leaves. Harbaugh comes in, and I don't know, is he a disciplinarian, but certainly he's getting it done, and all accounts are he's much more of a people coach. Lovie Smith, Tony Dungy, Super Bowl caliber quarterbacks. So, you know, there's more than one way to lead a team, and people have to stop thinking that you've got to be that Bill Cowher spit in your face or that Bill Parcells verbal intimidator to lead. That is one way to do it. But there are other ways. You never saw Tom Landry get upset. You never saw Tom Landry raise his voice. But I can assure you from watching countless interviews of people that played for Tom Landry, they shook in their boots when he walked in. And he had a very quiet, authoritative way to lead the Cowboys. And so there's different styles. And I will also say Jason Garrett is 16-16. In 32 games as a head coach. He's in his second second full season. Took over after Wade Phillips was fired 2 years ago at 1-7. Finished at 5-3 as the interim head coach. But those games still count on his record. But he was the interim head coach. Was hired in the offseason as the head coach. We had the lockout collective bargaining agreement. There wasn't a full training camp. There were no OTAs. I'm not making excuses. I'm stating a fact. He came in as the head coach. Rob Ryan comes in as the defensive coordinator, and there really wasn't a preseason to speak of. There wasn't, all of the things that you look for. So this is the first year that these guys have a normal regimented offseason, and it's disappointing. But I want to remind everybody that it is the first year. And Sean Payton in his first 4 years before he went to the Super Bowl, 25-23, and they didn't give up on him. So, I'm concerned about Garrett. I will admit that. But I'm not ready to throw in the towel at all. 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. And let me not overlook our sponsor. We have a sponsor today. And it's kind of a joint relationship. But I'm in two fantasy football leagues. And one of the leagues is the Afro Remix Football League, and I've been in this league a number of years now, and run by a good friend of mine, and a couple of people in the league I knew, and then of course there are people that I've made friendships with over the years that I've been in the league. It's very well run, very well organized league, and so he mentioned that the league has this will be the seventh year. And, the Super Bowl, if you will, is called the Football League Classic. And the name is based on the game that's played between rivals historically in black colleges and universities. And so we want to give a shout out to Afro Remix and everybody in that league. And I really appreciate you guys. And I enjoy the league every year. Last year I played in it, and it was I went to the championship game and lost. So I'm actually having a good year so far. I'm 6-3 this year, so we'll see. But it's a great, great league. I enjoy everybody in the league, and keep it going. I mean, to me, we have our own league run by Dr. Train, EAFL League. But I gotta be honest. I look at that league as kind of the model, and I watch closely what they do and try to emulate as much as I can. And it's very interactive, very fun league, and this is the seventh season, so it's very, very popular. And hey, I'll make sure to bring on the champion. It might be me. But I'll make sure to bring on the champion on the Madden Voice to talk about his experience. And maybe we can bring be on himself. Maybe we can bring the guy on himself. I know Daryl, who happens to be sitting in the chat room. So what up, D? Is really good friends with Bronzel, and maybe we can get them both on. Daryl has called in the show a couple times. But Daryl and I knew each other before I knew B, and Daryl and B are best friends, and so it's really funny that I'd known Daryl for a number of years. We're in the same league for like 2 years, didn't even know it. So it's just a small world. But let me go to the phone lines. I have area code that I'm very familiar with, an 860 area code. That's 860 area code. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Hello. It's D.
What's up, man?
What's up?
Hey, brother. I was just sitting there talking about you.
I'm on the phone. You got me on the phone. So there you go.
All right. Well, talk about the Fantasy Football League, man, since, I didn't get the message in time to talk about it Wednesday night, so I certainly wanted to give a shout-out to the Classic.
The Classic, yes. Like you said, man, it's the league been going on, B started it. Me and him kind of started it together. I'm kind of co-commissioner with him. You know how it is. You know how we get together every year. We do our little drafts and stuff like that.
Right.
And it's quite interactive. And the way B does it, we got rivalries and everything going on in this league. So, I mean, it's different from other fantasy leagues that I've noticed around the areas.
I think the thing about it that I really like is organization, and the interactiveness, you know, polls, the updates, you know, when the week is over, you know, B puts up the, you know, there's a feature game and he gives an update on that game. And then he, you know, a little summary on the other results and then kind of a look ahead to the upcoming week. I mean, it is almost, when you read that, it's almost like a mini sports center, you know, for the league.
Right.
And it's very, very enjoyable. I actually mean to send that over to Dr. Train, who runs our fantasy football league, just to see, because, you know, he's always willing to learn it, just to see if it's something that he would be interested in doing. But, you know, then you have the polls, things come up, and he'll throw a poll out there. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? Or what do you think the game of the week is? Who's the MVP? And it keeps you engaged. It keeps you drawn in.
Exactly.
And it's a really wonderful thing.
It's not just something you go on every week and you put the team in and forget about it until the game is over. Like, you have a vested interest. It's like, okay, like they talked about this game this week. I got to watch this game and see how they doing and how the points are going and how the score is going. You sometimes forget about your own game. You get so involved in, like, saying, okay, what are they doing? So it's like with the league this year, I mean, we let the first woman in this year, and she's right in the middle of the pack right now. So I watch her team more than I watch my team sometimes. And seeing how she's in front of me in the league, I got a problem.
Well, you know, I remember her at the draft, and she seemed to know what she was doing.
Yes,
you know?
Illegal touching. That was the name of the team. How you like that one? That's even better.
I plead the fifth on that, man. I plead the fifth. I don't want to get myself – well, I can't – let me stop. I can't get myself in any trouble. But I don't want to get myself in trouble.
Yeah, I plead the fifth with you on that one.
Yeah. You need to plead the fifth, man. You need to be careful, man.
And then, you know, also, like, you know, this year is kind of good for me this year because my son has finally gotten the league, and he's actually kicking butt. So it's kind of like passing on the torch, you know. I am the let me throw this out there, people. I am the three-time champion in this fantasy league 3 years in a row. So let's let that be known.
Well, you know, I can't argue that, you know. I'm still looking for my first ring. I fell short last year, and I'm doing well this year. I'm doing better in that league than in my own league. So, I'm in contention for the playoffs. So,
And the thing I found odd is, like, I mean, at the draft, when we had the draft, we all noticed that the pickings were slim because of our format that we're using for picking teams, but everybody is so close right now. I mean, there's a three-way tie at third place and a four-way tie at second place. It's just so close right now. Like, this league just gets you involved. It's like, wow, it's really happening. And then your moves during the week, you got to watch them close. Because one false move and you got the wrong guy in the game and you're on a two-game losing streak, which I can attest to right now.
Right.
But, yeah, I just had to call in. I love the show. I got to bounce out right now. I'm going to have it on, though, but I got to do some work around the house. You know how it goes, but I'll be listening.
All right.
I just want to touch base, and anybody out there, make sure you listen to this man every week, because he just gives you information that sometimes you realize that, wow, that's really happening. In the NFL, you just missed it, and T is on top of it all the time. So make sure you guys listen to the Madden Voice every week. Every week.
Appreciate that, brother. All right, D.
All right. All right, later on, man.
Take care. My man D, I appreciate the support, man. You know, love all the fans, but it's always special when someone that you know calls in, a friend, someone that before I even was involved in the Madden Voice or even the video game Madden on a level that I was involved, or the EAFL. I've known Daryl for a long time, and so when you have a friend that calls in, you know, the time my parents called in, or my friend Maria, you know, just a friend. She's only ever been just a friend, but real nice person. She even called in one night. I've never had a girlfriend call in, though. I've had girlfriends listen to the show, but I've never had one call in. So Maybe in the future, make that happen. But anyway, it was good that D called in. Appreciate it. And Afro Remix Football League, we love you. Maybe next week we'll feature my own league, the EAFL League. I see Dr. Train sitting in there listening to me. So let me shout out to Dr. Train. He hasn't pressed the one, so he's probably just listening. Knowing Dr. Train, he's probably just getting up. You know, got that scraggly PhD voice, you know, drinking a little water, getting himself together. But appreciate Dr. Train coming to check us out as well. Let's talk a little bit about what's coming up on Sunday. And, you know, we covered some of the big games, but just to kind of think about it, let's look at it this way. You know, the game of the week is Houston and Chicago. That is the game of the week. And you really can't pick a team here because everyone has an opinion, but this is a pick'em game. At the end of the day, this is a pick'em game. And you know, I've picked against Houston because I don't believe in Wade Phillips in general, although I do say that Wade Phillips is a heck of a defensive coordinator, but I just don't like him because of what he did in Dallas. He just wasn't effective. But you look at Houston playing good defense. You look at Chicago playing good defense. You look at Houston with weapons on offense. You look at Chicago with weapons on offense. You look at both of the teams at 7-1. And, you know, this is to me what football is all about. This is to me why we watch football, for games like this. This is a game that even if you're not a Houston or a Chicago fan, if you're a football fan, you've got to watch. But I'm going to submit to the Madden Voice audience that we will learn nothing new about these teams after this game. We're not going to learn anything because the reason why is they're both 7-1. So if Chicago blows out Houston, does that mean that Houston now sucks at 7-2? If Houston blows out Chicago, does this mean that Chicago now sucks at 7-2? No. You see, both of these teams are excellent teams, can easily a case be made. I think in Houston, it's without a doubt best team in the AFC. I think in the NFC, Chicago is the second best team in the NFC. I think Atlanta right now holds that title. But, you know, you can make a case for Chicago with only one loss at 7-1. It's just hard to go against a team that's undefeated. It really is hard to do that. But I'm sure someone somewhere with enough stats and enough numbers could make a good case for Chicago being the best team in the NFC, if not the best team in the NFL. It's arguable is my point. And so I just don't want everyone – don't tune in next Tuesday and pile on Dr. Train if the Bears lose or even if the Bears get whooped. This does not determine much as to where we go for the rest of the season. It's one game. What we've seen over 8 cannot be dismissed over one football game. You can't do it. You know, so what? Team goes to, you know, I remember the Cowboys playing the Patriots in 07. That's the year the Patriots went 16-0. The Cowboys went 13-3. And both teams were undefeated. Patriots were 6-0, Cowboys were 5-0. And it was the game of the week, and all the statistics of how many times we had two undefeated teams play each other at this point in the season and who wins and all that. And it was played in Dallas, and, you know, Dallas had T.O. and then the other, and, you know, the Patriots, Randy Moss, so it was T.O. versus Moss, and Romo versus Brady. Does Romo shake the curse of the fumble last year? And see, I mean, it was a big, big, big game. And Dallas lost, I believe, the score, and it can be – you guys can verify it was 41-31, and it was a good game. There were points in that game where it looked like Dallas might actually win, but they ended up losing by 10. But that game didn't show us anything. Dallas still went 13-3, number one seed. Patriots went 16-0, number one seed. So at the end of regular season, all we were saying is that maybe the Cowboys – or maybe this is a Super Bowl preview. Maybe that's it. You know, I don't know. But it didn't show us or teach us anything. And so I say that to say this game won't teach us anything either. This game will not reveal anything other than who is the best team on the field that day. That's what we're going to find out. And for Houston Texans fans, that's important. For Chicago Bears fans, that's important. But for us, it's not that important. I mean, it really isn't. What's important is this.
This kid is a gamer. He's a baller. He's a playmaker. And a shot caller.
In case you didn't know,
I got T-Bowed. He shattered the mold. And all he does is win. All he does is win games.
Listen.
I got T-Bowed. He shattered the mold. And all he does is win. All he does is unleash.
Tell him, T-Bowed.
Let him go.
It's time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play. Let him play.
On Sunday.
Unleash.
Tell him, T-Bowed.
Let him go.
It's time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play.
I'm going to church Sunday.
Run, pass, option. I think that's my game.
I can't give you that!
I'm no John Elway.
He's rewriting the book.
Week in and week out.
He's a unique
football player.
That's what Tim Tebow's all about.
He's a gamer. He's a baller. Playmaker. Shot caller. He's a gamer. He's a baller. Playmaker. Shot caller. Unleash
Tim Tebow. Let him go.
It's time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play. Let him play.
On Sunday.
And all he does is win. All he does is win.
One more day. One more win.
All he does is win games.
I played that because I actually needed 30 seconds to do something else. But I also played that to say that winning is really, at the end of the day, what it's about. Maybe when I was defending Romo, I got away from that a little bit, and I'll acknowledge that. But I needed to prove a point that not that the Cowboys the other day were a good team. I don't believe they are. Not that there isn't a lot of problems. And please don't mistake. All I was saying was it wasn't all Tony's fault. Tony has some culpability there as a member of the team, but for people to say that he needed to be benched is just ridiculous. So don't mistake that to mean I don't understand that they're 3-5 team, and that's a bad record. You are what your record is, and 3-5 sucks. But Chicago 7-1, Houston 7-1, those are two good teams. I don't want to, and it's what's really going to upset me is we're going to watch this game. One of the teams is going to win. I'm going to turn on SportsCenter. I'm going to turn on Fox. I'm going to turn on NFL Network. And whoever wins is going to be touted as maybe the best team in all of football now. And it's going to be discussion as to, you know, where do they stand with Atlanta? Because I'm telling you, Atlanta's going to lose to the Saints. But there's going to be discussions about that because of this game. And the other team's going to be forgotten. No matter how well or poorly they play, they're going to be forgotten. And that is BS. We have two of the best teams in the NFL playing at a very high level. The fan bases need to be proud, need to be happy. And, hey, if your team loses, you've built up a 7-1 record to sustain this loss. It means nothing. All it means is on this given day you just weren't good enough. That's all it means. Beyond that, it doesn't mean a damn thing because you go to 7-2. And how many teams out there would not mind being 7-2? At this point in the season, this was also a bait because I knew that this would get Dr. Train to want to come on to the show. So, Dr. Train, welcome to Lunch with Commissioner T on the Madden Voice.
What's up, man? You know me pretty well. My show just woke up. I was like, "Ooh, T show is on. Let me check out see what you're talking about." But no, I didn't really hop on the go against anything you said. I agree with everything you said. It is a hard game to pick. Yeah, I'm a Chicago fan. I really would like them to win this game. I want to see us beat a quality team. It would say a lot about us, but to lose against Houston would not be a catastrophe. As a matter of fact, considering the next two games that we have to play, I would rather lose this one instead of the next one. If I had to take a loss, Houston is an out of conference game. It's a common opponent, but it's still an out of conference game. San Francisco, on the other hand, is a conference game and one that could be seen as a tiebreaker for seeding for the playoffs. But just going back to the Houston game, if we lose it, no, it's definitely not the end of Chicago. It's one of the few tough games. I predict the other day record will be 13-3. This is a loss Chicago can take and still take another loss, whether it be, I would say, either Green Bay or even San Francisco, and still finish with 13 wins. It's still a strong playoff team.
And Train, I think you share my potential frustration, and I'll look for you to follow up with this Tuesday night. But if your team loses, I think we're going to see the analysts and the pundits. I don't think we're going to hear what I'm saying out there.
Right.
I don't think we're going to hear people say oh, well, Chicago's still a good team even though they lost. Or, oh, well, Houston's still a good team. I think all the focus goes on a team that won, and the conversation now becomes if Atlanta does go to 9-0 or even at 8-1, because, in, you know, Atlanta loses. And, you know, and that's a game where if Atlanta loses, so? You're 8-0. I mean, you know, and I'll talk about Atlanta in a second because I'm telling you why they're going to lose. But, you know, but you're 8-0. But I think not a conversation goes if Atlanta's at 8-1 or 9-0 and Chicago's at 8-1, who's the better team, right? That becomes the conversation, and Houston drops off the radar. Or if it's the other way around, could we see Houston and Atlanta in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl? And I think people have to understand and keep these games in perspective. When a team plays as well as Atlanta – I mean, I'm sorry, well, as Atlanta too, but as Chicago and Houston have played to put themselves – in a position to be at 7-1 and now maybe go to 8-1, one loss at this point in the season doesn't end the season. It doesn't make them a bad team. It just means they lost the game. You know, that's it.
And I mean,
it means they lost the game.
I mean, as simple as you put it, I mean, fans, they can yell and say what they want, but, I mean, if you know, if you're not a fan of Houston or Chicago and you're a fan of one of these other teams that are nowhere near close to 7-1 right now, how could you even say anything other than I wish my team would have that kind of cushion?
Yeah, right. And that's the thing about it is I can say that. I wish my team had that kind of cushion. You know, I'm sitting at 3-5, pissed the hell off. 3-5!
Yeah. With knowing that you can't take no more than one or two more losses at most. You can't even take those.
Right. Yeah. I mean, 3-5 right now, and there's a lot of teams 3-5, and it is general consensus that that's the line of demarcation to keep yourself in playoff contention. If you're 3-5, you need to win. And if you go to six after this week, you're not mathematically eliminated, but you're pretty much off anyone's radar screen as a possible playoff team. And so who wants to be at that point as a fan with – you know, 40% of the season left over. The worst thing in the world as a fan is watching your team play with really nothing to play for. There is nothing worse than that feeling. You have to create, you know, oh, we got to be the spoiler. Or that just sucks. And as a Dallas Cowboy fan, with the pedigree that we have, 8 Super Bowl appearances, there's nothing fun about that. So, Trent, you're absolutely right. At 7-1, I would love to be where you're at. I would love to be where Houston or Atlanta's at. You know, I would love to be with a winning record and feeling like every game matters, and I'm watching a team that's going to be in the postseason, and we have something to play for. Even last year, you know, Cowboys went up to 7-4, 8-4. I think it was 7-4 they went up to. Won 4 games in a row, maybe 8, if I remember. But and playing down the stretch and trying to win the division, a 2-game lead on the Giants, and faltered, of course. But the point is, there was something to play for every single game. I don't want to be that player. I don't want the Cowboys to not be a topic on this show because they're 3-8, and who cares? Who cares? You know, I mean, I've got the Bears at 7-1 and the Steelers at 5-3, and those are the 3 teams that we talk about the most, and my team is potentially about to drop off the radar. So I'm envious, bro. I'm envious. I'm absolutely envious. Let me talk about, because I don't want to overwhelm people with too much Madden voice in 1 week, but I do want to talk about Atlanta and New Orleans and my prediction that Atlanta will lose, and something I saw today just inked it in for me. The curse came in today. Okay, the curse is when a team is undefeated and they start talking about going undefeated. That's the curse. And I heard Roddy White talk about their chances of going undefeated. If I'm a player, Train, you're there, right?
Yes.
Okay. So let's just say I'm a player or I'm the head coach, and I want you to be the interviewer, and I want to role play this with you, and I want you to ask me, you know, however you want to ask me about our chances of going undefeated this season, and ask me. I'm going to tell you how it should be answered. Okay.
All right, Commissioner, or can I even call you Roddy White or Commissioner?
Call me whatever you want. All
right, Commissioner, your team sits at 8-0. You're playing pretty well. You got the New Orleans Saints coming up. You got quite a few division teams coming up.
How do you feel about your team going 16-0 and being undefeated for the season?
It doesn't matter how I feel. It's irrelevant how I feel about us going 16-0. Right now, we've got the New Orleans Saints. We have to go to New Orleans and play the Saints in New Orleans. They're a division rival. They're playing some good football. We know what Drew Brees is all about. That team is for real. People talk about their defensive woes. I saw a defense play pretty well against a good Philadelphia offense. I know Philly has had their challenges too, but we know Michael Vick, LeSean McCoy, Jeremy Maclin, those guys, at any given time can light it up. And we saw the Saints go in there and hold them to 13 points. I have to take this game very seriously. I'm not interested in discussing. Oh, I'm right now concerned with 9-0. We need to go play these Saints because guess what? We're gonna have to play them again in a few weeks. And so I'm not gonna disrespect any of the teams on my record by talking about 16-0. Every game here in the NFL is a battle, and right now the battle in front of us is the New Orleans Saints. So if you don't mind, Train, with all due respect, I like to focus in on the Saints. That's who we have in front of us, and hopefully on Monday you can congratulate us for being 9-0.
Yeah, that probably should have been
hit. If you're the coach or a player, you're looking ahead. How do you think your division rivals feel? How do you think they feel when you're talking about going 16-0? Right? How do you think Detroit feels? Who's going to play you at home second to the last game of the season? And they're battling arguably the toughest division in football because now Detroit's starting to play some good football. Minnesota's there. We already talked about what the Bears are doing. And, of course, you can never forget the Packers. So you think Detroit's going to walk into that game? They want to have something to play for in the 22nd. You got the Giants, the Super Bowl champs, coming into town. You got the Panthers, who, granted, at this point, we can say they're not going to the playoffs, but Cam Newton is playing for Cam Newton, if nothing else. He's playing anti-establishment. I got to show these guys football. Okay, he's listening to what everyone's saying. So you've got some teams here. And shall I remind you that had you not completed a 60-yard pass, Carolina, you would have lost that game. I don't know how they look. But needless to say, To even sit there and discuss 16-0 is ridiculous. It's ludicrous. It makes me think of, and let me see if I have it, because I think I have it here. This is what it makes me think of.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
And the way that continues is we're just trying to win a game. This was Jim Mora when he coached the Colts. And you don't want to talk about playoffs. You don't want to talk about undefeated seasons. And because they're talking about it, because they're reading the paper and they're reading the press, and I think they know that the Saints' defense is horrible, I think they're going to take the Saints lightly. And I'm telling you, if there was ever a definition of a trap game, this is it. You're already starting to look at being undefeated. You're going to play a team that is struggling, that has had everything that can go wrong do go wrong. Questions about their head coach, questions about Jonathan Vilma, questions about Bountygate, Drew Brees, you know, the interim coach, all of these things going on. But this is a championship team. This is a team that has a core cast of characters that went and won a Super Bowl. I'm sorry, Atlanta, you do not have that. I'm sorry, Atlanta, Matt Ryan, if I'm correct, has no playoff wins. Regular season player, but no playoffs. So I got to just say that it's a trap game, and I'm telling you, everyone out there, New Orleans to win this game. Pick New Orleans to win this game. All right. A couple more things before we get out of here. Detroit at Minnesota. You know, I picked Detroit in this game, and that's a pick'em game. You know, the one thing that I forgot about Minnesota is Adrian Peterson. And let me say this: if Percy Harvin plays, then I will change my pick. If we find out that Percy Harvin is ever going to play, I'm going to go with Minnesota. I'm going to change my pick. and I will put it up on the Madden Voice. I will text Dr. Train so he can adjust. We're not sure if Percy Harvin's going to play, but if he does play, Minnesota at home, and I don't know how much of a home field advantage that gives them. They both play in domes, but I'm going to change my pick if Percy Harvin plays. And, of course, last game we will talk about before we get out of here, elimination game, if you will, Dallas and Philadelphia. And we talked about it on Wednesday, and I have to warn Dallas to be careful because everyone's picking Dallas to win this game. Most people are picking Dallas to win this game. I went on ESPN's website, and there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 picks, and two of them are computerized, and 12 are people. And there's only 3 Philadelphia Eagle picks. Tom Jackson, which doesn't surprise me at all, picks the Eagles. I'm sorry. I stand corrected. Tom Jackson picked the Cowboys. I'm actually shocked at that. Keyshawn Johnson picked the Eagles. That doesn't surprise me at all. Mike Golic picked the Eagles. I think Golic might have played for the Eagles, if I remember correctly. And Eric Allen, I know, played for the 49ers, but I think he had a stint with the Eagles, too. I'm not totally sure. But anyway, I'm pretty sure Golic was a former Eagle. So, 3. Everybody else, Mort, Schefter, Slareth, on ESPN, Ditka, Chris Carter, who is certainly not a Cowboy fan, Ron Jaworski. Let me say it again for people in the rear seats. Ron Jaworski picked the Cowboys to beat the Eagles, and the Eagles are home. So with all of that pressure on Dallas, with all of that, the Cowboys are the better team, and the Eagles team that played the Saints looked pathetic, and Michael Vick, it doesn't look good and should be benched, and Andy Reid should be fired. Let me warn Dallas that while you should be able to go in and win this game, if you guys don't stop LeSean McCoy, it's over. I don't know if DeMarco Murray's playing or not. He's been at practice, finally, limited. He has a foot sprain, and they said 4 to 6 weeks. We're at week 4. I would say don't hold your breath for DeMarco Murray. If DeMarco Murray plays, Cowboys got it. They need a running game, and Murray is their only quality running back. I'm sorry, Felix Jones. You're too up and down for me. Dunbar, you haven't shown me much yet. Philip Tanner, you had potential. I don't know where you went, but I'm no longer in your camp. Right now, DeMarco Murray is – they need a healthy DeMarco Murray. So, Dallas, be careful. This is where – let's put it like this. If Jason Garrett and Andy Reid are on the hot seat, if changes are going to be made in either organization, it's going to start after this game. If either team goes to 3-6, they might as well sign it in. So, as Jason Garrett said, we're not desperate, but there is a sense of urgency. You know what I would say? Be desperate. Be desperate. Desperation means you do whatever it takes to win. So be desperate. I don't care. I don't have a problem with being desperate. Sometimes in life, desperation. Desperate times calls for desperate measures. Sometimes in life, as in a risky business, you just got to say what the flock, right? And the Cowboys need – this is not a game to hold back. This is a game where you onside kick right off the bat. Go for it on fourth down in your own territory. I don't care. Desperation. I don't care. Des Bryant back fielding punt. Okay, never mind. No Des Bryant fielding punts. Never mind. Forget that. But you do whatever it takes to win the game. And if that means it's desperation, then so be it. But you get your team to 4-5. You hope the Giants go down to who are the Giants playing? Let me look it up. I have it right here. Giants are playing Cincinnati. You hope that the Giants on the road to Cincinnati can lose. Then the Giants would go to 6-4 and Dallas or Philly be at 4-5. So you take the winner of this game and you put them within a game of the Giants. And we know that the Giants, you can't trust them. In the postseason, hard to bet against them. Hard to bet against them. But getting to the postseason, because 3 out of the last 5 years, they haven't made the postseason. Unfortunately, the other 2 years that they did, they won it all, and they beat the Patriots both times. So this is the time to get the Giants. I did pick the Giants. I do think they're going to win, but I'm rooting for the Bengals. I'm rooting for the Bengals, no doubt about it. My last comment before I let everybody go is when I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I will come on and say that I'm wrong. When I'm right, though, I want a pat on the back, and I believe that it was K-Star, and I hope he catches the archive, who came on several weeks ago and talked about Darren McFadden. And he kept talking about he's the fantasy dream, he's this, he's that, and you should have him on your team. Then a few weeks later, he came on and he said, why aren't they using Darren McFadden more? They need to run him more, they need to change his game. Now, that I didn't agree with. Train and I both agreed, you got a stud running back, you got to use him more. But I did say that day, and I said it when he was touting Darren McFadden as a fantasy back extraordinaire, that he gets hurt. He's injury prone. And that's the problem. He's injury prone. Now, I can't talk. DeMarco Murray's been injured last year and this year. But the point is, if you're looking, Darren McFadden, DeMarco Murray is not Darren McFadden. Not yet. Maybe if he stays healthy. But he's not. Darren McFadden arguably could be a top healthy. He's a top fantasy pick. He could be your first pick, you know, or your second pick. If you need a quarterback first, then fine. But he could be your one or two pick. He's that valuable and produces. But he doesn't stay healthy. You can't rely on him. And he's hurt again. So K-Star, I told you. I had the guy on my team last year. And he started off great. And then his foot got hurt, and they played with me all year. Oh, he might be back next week. He never came back. He was done. But it wasn't until like week 15. Oh, now we're going to put him on injured reserve. What? So, yes, he's a stud. He's a phenom. He's arguably healthy. If you take all the running backs in the NFL and you line them up and say healthy, who do you want? Who's your first running back? Darren McFadden is in that conversation for top five, period, when healthy. You got to say Adrian Peterson. You got to say Arian Foster. Train would probably throw Matt Forte in there because he's a Bears fan. I can't argue with that. LeSean McCoy might be in that conversation. But you can't tell me that Darren McFadden with healthy isn't a stud, because he is. He can't be stopped, but he gets hurt. So, and unfortunately, in fantasy football, that's a problem because you can't generate any. I mean, forget the team. I don't care about the Raiders and how well they do. I could give two craps about the Raiders. But on fantasy football, we need players that are going to score points. So when you're looking at making your first pick, you know, are you going to go with Adrian Peterson, who just came back off of, torn ACL, MCL, and came back and is a stud again? Came back, in my opinion, early, but the guy is unbelievable. Or do you go with Darren McFadden, who sprains his foot, sprains his ankle, like, you know, every other game? I'm sorry, I got to go with Adrian Peterson. I got to go with Arian Foster. Got to go with backs that have shown versatility. So with that said, I want to thank Dr. Train for coming on and giving us a quick synopsis on the Bears. I know he's going to be watching that game Sunday night. I know I will be too. Should be a great game. I want to thank my man D for calling in. Appreciate it. Afro Remix Football League. And I'll get with Train offline, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about the EAFL Football League and do a little feature on that next week. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I hope you guys enjoyed the Madden Voice. And, enjoy the games this weekend, because we're in November. Before you know it, football is going to be over. We're going to have playoffs, Super Bowl, and we're going to be done. It's getting cold out there, and we're already 60% through the season. So check out football. Enjoy your weekend. We'll see you Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Remember to tune into the Madden Voice. Get educated. Listen to Commish T. Bring a sandwich. But remember, most importantly, on Sunday and Monday, all feuds are settled on the field. Good night, everybody. Oops, did it again. Let's try this one.